This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello, Michael.
Hello. Are we on or not?
We are.
I don't hear all the background fuzz. I was just wondering, you know.
You want me to make some?
No. It's hard enough being here with you as it is.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, welcome to the show today, and I hope I have something of good wisdom for you in your yard or whatever you might be doing in your yard. And you can call and ask any question that you would like about your garden, your yard, your lawn, your sprinklers, your lawnmowers, whatever. Anything to do with landscaping, yard care, or, you know, I just planted such and such and it's already got brown leaves. How come? Well, I'll question you and put you on the spot for that. But anyway, the phone number is 673-4464, and your calls are welcome. So, there. Got that part out of the way.
Got it.
So, it's kind of a little bit different show today because I'm going to talk about mosquitoes and hummingbirds and, you know, a few other things.
I'm trying to put the two together.
Well, they have a lot to do with your garden.
Do they? Mosquitoes?
Yeah, mosquitoes, yeah.
Hey.
So, how do you keep mosquitoes from attacking you while you're, you know, trying to relax on your deck or patio, huh? That's, you know, you're out there enjoying your flowers and stuff,
yeah.
and the skeeters are coming down and taking chunks out of you, mm-hmm. and you go, oh, man. Well, you can wear a full-length protective suit.
Mm-hmm. A COVID suit.
A COVID suit with a face mask or something like that, or spray your yard with some toxic chemical, or just don't go outside until October, you know.
One of the two,
you know,
or three.
October's usually nice, and there's not many skeeters and stuff out there. But, you know, there are, however, some easier ways to keep the bloodsuckers from attacking, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about.
All right.
So one simple way is to create a breeze.
A breeze?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like I was barbecuing for a group of friends over the weekend, and it was really hot. I didn't have a mosquito problem, but it was really hot. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we brought a fan out from the house and plugged it in on the deck there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that kept me a lot cooler as I was slaving over the stupid barbecue. I mean, you put your hand over it and it feels like it's 10,000 degrees.
Yeah,
you're trying to flip hamburgers.
But,
you know, and it also will keep mosquitoes away. It'll keep bugs away because they don't like the breeze.
Hmm. Yeah. I never knew that.
Well, hey, now you can mark that down in your book.
I certainly will.
If you had a book, you'd do it. Anyway, but that's good. You just create a breeze and, you know, get your little old box fan. If you got one of those, don't, any kind of fan, and just create a breeze and direct it at you, and they will not land on you. They don't like that. So you want to blow those nasty critters away, period. You know, they don't like the wind. Send them next door, you know, let your neighbor have all that he wants, and then you can do that. Or there's other things.
Oh, okay.
You can plant an aromatic garden. Aromatic means it smells good. Plants that have a strong scent that mosquitoes don't like. Then there are such plants.
I didn't know that stinking things could smell.
Well, they got little noses, I think. I haven't gotten that close. But you can try some lavender plants around your yard. Lavender plants, you know, close to where you sit, around your deck, around your patio, up the side of your driveway. And not only does the scent repel the little critters, it's, you know, a very pretty and long-blooming plant, evergreen kind of plant, and it smells great. So, you know, you've got the beauty and doesn't get huge. It's not a maintenance problem or anything like that, and it'll keep some of the bugs away, and it'll draw in bees as pollinators. So you're getting the best of both worlds with
lavender is a good plant.
It is because you can make soaps out of it, and I talked about that, I don't know, last week or the week before about the lavender show they had out in Lower Garden Valley.
Oh yes,
yeah. And there were booths, and there were people in these booths selling lavender soap and lotions and things like that, and you put some of that on you and just swab it all over you, and nothing hurts you. You know, you're totally good.
Nobody
to go,
wants
man.
To go near you.
No, and the mosquitoes don't like it, man.
That's the best.
Yeah. So, you know, try some lavender plants around the yard to where you sit. You know, you might have a favorite spot in your yard. You sit, watch the sun go down, or just to get out in the shade and look at your flowers, whatever it is. But put some lavender in there, and you won't be. There's a lot of other bugs and flying creatures out there that are repelled by the smell of lavender. Now, I don't know why, if they just don't like it, or it kills them or makes them sick or whatever, but it's, like I say, it's pretty. It blooms a long time and smells great to us humans, at least.
It's very simple to plant.
Yeah, it is. And here's some other plants that the skeeters don't like.
Okay.
They don't care for basil. And basil, I guess, is something you would cook with. They don't like mint.
I was wondering about that.
Okay. And they don't like rosemary. They don't like catnip. And they don't like marigolds. That's a short list. There are some other things.
Picky little things, aren't they?
Yeah. What's all this guy doing putting these marigolds in his yard? Yeah.
Wonder if they like the smell of marijuana.
I don't know. My research didn't go that deep. So a nice garden of color and aroma keeps the critters away. You know?
Nice.
And you don't have to spray, you know, Easy Off or Easy On or whatever sprays are out there, you know, that they sell anymore. And another thing with the lavender, you can rub the leaves and the scent of the lavender leaf, you've got it, and you can put it on your skin. And in case one of those little flying critters gets through your bushes and they get near you, you smell like a lavender plant. They don't want anything to do with you. Mm. They say, hey, forget this guy. He's a lavender. He's a walking lavender.
Let's go, Martha.
But when you rub the leaves, and there's an oil that secretes, and it goes into the air and onto your skin. So you've got the best of both worlds there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
and you have a nice evening on top of that.
Yeah. So nothing's biting me. What's wrong? Am I dead? mosquitoes are attracted to water. You know, they love that water.
Yes.
So you can plant these shrubs around your koi pond or a waterfall feature you might have in your yard, something like that. You know, you've got a double shot of protection, if you will, from the little creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why some of the little, you know, they're like ticks and yellow jackets. They're really a pain.
Don't those stinking little things lay their eggs in water?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know the whole story.
The whole cycle of them.
No. Here's the thing. Overgrown plants and garden debris in your yard is a perfect habitat for mosquitoes to lay their eggs and hide.
Oh, okay.
So if you've got a real overgrown yard and you've got some older shrubs and they're fairly large and lots of branches and stuff, they get in there and they hide. That's their protection. That's a place that they hang out. Not if they're lavender all over.
They so, couldn't touch it.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
So, you know, if you want to kind of keep that at a minimum, you want to do some regular landscape maintenance and, you know, keep all those critters at bay.
Yeah.
And by just, you know, keeping things pruned and not just pruning the tops where they grow, like lavender, say, goes straight up or some other type of plant. But also to thin them out a bit so that there's more air circulation through the plant. You know, it's not just a solid wall of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect place for the little critters to hide and do their thing. But if it's breezy and it's open, there's a lot of air circulation. So consequently, they don't want to nest in there or whatever.
Whatever they do.
Yeah, whatever they do in there. Maybe they're playing poker. I don't know. But regular landscape maintenance, pruning-wise, will keep them, you know, all critters at bay. But plants, of course, are more healthy and attractive when they're pruned. I mean, it's...
Yep.
know, the an older plant, I don't, you know, maybe a lavender or even an azalea, rhododendron, whatever. When they get, you know, so big, they've been in the ground, say, 10, 15 years, and they're big and they're round. And when they bloom, they're beautiful. But after they bloom, you know, it's this green mass of leaves. And then you can look down into the plant and see a lot of dead leaves because they don't get any sun. They don't get any air. Mm-hmm. They don't get any circulation. And when you prune them out, and I've spoken about this 100 times, when you prune those things out and eliminate, say, 30 or 40% of the interior branches,
yeah,
that makes the plant healthier. So whatever you know, pruning is a health thing with plants. I mean, at a certain point, you have to say, hey, I gotta cut that puppy back, or I gotta, you know, thin it out, or do both to mm-hmm. it, and you get a better plant, and you get a better place where the mosquitoes
aren't gonna land.
They ain't gonna hang out there and rub their wings together as you sit down and go, ah, let's go bite that dude, all right? Yeah, okay.
That's true about those stinking little mosquitoes. Yeah, I remember walking through the cow pasture down to the creek when I was a kid, and we'd come across some big-leaved weeds or something and walk in them and go,
a whole
ton of them come flying out.
I know. It's like a farm of them. Wow.
Yeah,
where'd they come from?
Yeah, gag you.
Yeah, you don't want to have your mouth open.
No.
Taking a deep breath and you suck 30 of them in.
Absolutely.
You start joking real quick. But then there are natural predators that's going to help you too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, other than the lavender and stuff like that. Can you imagine a spider web as a natural trap? They get in there, they can't get out of that
trap. They can't get out, yeah,
because
okay.
That beautiful, beautiful
little Charlotte's web.
Spider web kind of thing, and they go, huh, this is cool, I wonder what that is, and they stick to it. And they go,
good for them.
Wrong place, man. You know, a mosquito flies into a spider web, gets stuck, then the spider has dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, hey, man, it's about time I got that one, I was hungry.
Quick little things, too.
Right. Now, here's a short list of mosquito lovers that will help you as well.
Okay.
Birds will eat them. Bats love them. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you see bats around your house, that's a good sign.
You probably have mosquitoes.
Yeah, you do, because they wouldn't be hanging around if they were starving. You know, frogs, you know, because when the mosquitoes come down, they kind of hit the water. You know, they don't swim in it. They just kind of hit it real quick. Well, there you got a frog. You got dragonflies. They destroy them. They eat them. Turtles. I'm thinking turtles. I mean, why would a turtle do that? But I guess they do. And fish, of course. You know, fly fishing.
Yeah.
Okay, bingo. There's a fly. Let's eat it. Okay, get it. So, you know, if all this fails, then just wear a mosquito suit, you know, which is totally uncomfortable and very hot and stuffy and you sweat a lot. So, you know, just try.
Which would probably attract the mosquitoes.
Yeah, it would attract the mosquitoes. So, you know, that's all part of the gardening experience. You know, there's no fun to sit in your backyard on your deck or whatever and have all these critters buzzing around your face and they make those weird sounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, what is that, a bomber or something? You know, no, it's a stinking mosquito. Get him, kill him, crush that sucker. But, you know, it's mid-July, it's hot, and lawns are browning up all over. I'm looking and I'm thinking, I wonder what their watering process is like. Now, I've seen a few green lawns, but I see... normally, if it's early morning, I see that they are being watered more frequently, and it looks like they're being fertilized, and it looks like maybe they have some aeration and things like that. So those are the greener ones. The ones that you cut too short, you scalp them because you don't want to mow, you know, once a week. You just want to mow every other week. Well, they finally get growing, and then you scalp them again, and then they don't do anything, and they're brown. And the shorter they get, the browner they get. The hotter it gets, the browner they get.
Yeah.
And pretty soon you're going, this is a disgusting lawn. I want something else. Well, just let it grow, for crying out loud. Let it grow, aerate it, fertilize it, water it, and when you cut it, just barely cut it. Don't scalp it. Don't put your mower blades right on the dirt and say, oh, this will keep it down for 3 weeks.
Let's make a pitching mound.
right. Right. Oh, gosh. But what you can do to keep your lawn green, most lawns are cut too short, as I said. Let your summer lawn get a little taller. Don't scalp when you mow. Check your watering schedule. If you have a sprinkler system, is it doing a proper job? Are all the heads working? Turn the thing on and watch to see if it's operating correctly.
Yeah.
You know, because you let's say you got it on at 5 in the morning or 10 at night or whatever, and, you know, you're not apt to go out at 5 in the morning just to see if the sprinkler's working. Mm-hmm. And we put most of, when I was still the owner of Wintergreen, we put most of our commercial sprinklers and the people that we did maintenance contracts with early morning type things. So that's when there's less heat, so there's less evaporation, yep, and there's more soaking of the grass, et cetera, et cetera. There's all pluses to that. And you mm-hmm. don't have to water as much, and your water bill isn't as high. So you're going to have to get up early and or even turn them on in the evening after the sun goes down and look at each individual head. Is it turning? Is it operating? Does it look like it's only throwing half the water that the head next to it is throwing? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe there's something. Obviously, there's something stuck in it. It could be a pebble. It could be a little chunk of wood. It could be a dead bird. I don't know.
Cockroach.
Cockroach, yeah. Go and get a drink and this sprinkler hit him. But that's what you got to do. And that's what's going to heal or correct your problem, you know, fairly quickly. So we got a break?
We do. We'll be right back. Phone number
673-4464. Please call. Ask a question. I got answers.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, fortunately, the ones we have around here, I don't think they fly, do they?
I don't know. I think they do.
Do they?
I've seen them fly.
We're talking cockroaches there.
Or maybe they're hummingbirds I'm looking at. I don't know.
That could be one in the same. No. Hummingbirds are nice to look at.
I know. If you have a question about anything in your yard, 673-4464. And if you have a cockroach story you'd like to share with us, we'll take that.
Oh, please do.
Have they attacked you yet? Are you still okay?
I hate those things.
Oh, gosh. So I was talking about lawns and why they're brown hopefully how to correct them if you want them corrected. Or like my, quote, lawn at home, I don't irrigate it and I don't do anything to it. And the parts that are shady are still green. The parts that are in full sun are not. They're brown. But I don't care. I live in the boondocks. Not very many people go by except my neighbors. And
you don't care about them anyway.
And they don't care. And I don't care if they do care. So that.
Yeah.
Plus, I water. Well, I could put a pump in the creek, but that's kind of a pain. And I got fish in the creek, so I don't want to drain the water down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got trout in there, for crying out loud. So
pumps are a pain in the rear. You always have to go down there and move them, clean them out.
Yeah,
you know.
Prime them. And do this. Why isn't it working? It's 106 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it working? Anyway, but if you have a regular water system that's, plugged into the city water and you see something that's inoperable, you may have to take the head apart. They're easy. Nowadays, the sprinkler heads are not as complex as they once were.
Mm.
And to unplug one, it's a simple thing. You might have to dig a little bit around to get to the actual head, the bottom of the head, so that you can unscrew it and then turn on the sprinkler and flush it out, or at least look in through the bottom of it, and if you see some debris in there, it's fairly easy to rinse out or kind of bang a little bit gently for whatever, you know, if it's a piece of wood or a bug or some moss or whatever.
Yeah,
it'll come out fairly quickly, and you screw it back on, turn on your system, and hey, it's
voila,
working.
There you go.
But you got to pay attention. You just can't assume that it's going to work just because it's worked before. Simply because you get a some guy gets a break in his water line down here because he had a fire hydrant or something like that and contaminates maybe more of the system with debris. And that's when you start running into those kinds of problems or, you know, it just breaks and junk gets into it.
It just wears out.
It wears out. Yeah, that happens. Most of the sprinkler heads anymore are made out of plastic. So anyway, that's what you want to find out. Make sure it's rotating correctly. Make sure it's shooting where you want it to shoot because they're all highly adjustable. And if you water, and I've said this 100 times, I'm sure, but there may be some new people out there listening. If you water in midday when it's hot, like right now, if you're out there watering your lawn, stop it. It's not doing any good because 50% of your water is being evaporated and not even hitting the ground. So you'd have to water for 3 hours to get an hour's worth of water into your lawn.
But that's a waste.
Yeah, total waste. And your water bill will reflect that waste.
Yeah.
Go, what happened here? What's going on? Man, it's so high. Yeah,
we're going to stop taking showers.
Yeah. And no more water for coffee either.
Oh, boy. Now that's where I draw the line.
I'm sure you would. I would, too. But, but you know, it's not hitting the grass. It's evaporating. And abusers of this I see are commercial landscapes. I see it all over Roseburg as I drive around. It'll be right now, it's what, 100, is it 100 or 99 or something like that right now?
It says 90.
90? Oh, it seems hotter than that. But anyway, you see them watering in the middle of the afternoon on a strip of grass, a strip of lawn that goes down their sidewalk or something like that. And it's not doing a bit of good. It's just raising your water bill.
91.
It's not helping the grass because it's not getting into the root system where that's where the water needs to be. You can put all the water on top on the leaves all you want, but it doesn't do anything for the roots. So just think of it that way. And like I say, before the sun comes up, after the sun goes down, even when the sun goes down, it's still pretty warm. There'll still be some degree of evaporation, but it won't be like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon evaporation or something like that. So just keep those things in mind. Your water bill might go down 50%. And you go, wow, that's pretty good. Did they cut the rates? No, you checked your sprinkler system out and you're not wasting water anymore.
Yeah, I quit watering the sidewalk.
Yeah, quit watering the sidewalk. Let the city water the sidewalk.
They do that quite well.
They do. They got trucks that do that. So early morning or after sundown. And you want to continue to fertilize on a regular schedule with a high quality lawn food. And the easiest place to get a high-quality lawn food is at the co-op, Douglas County Farm Bureau, because they'll have, seven or eight varieties, Scots and this and that and the next thing. And read the labels. Look at only $2.95 a bag, don't buy it. Don't waste your time. There's nothing in there. There's no ingredient in it. Mm. But if it's $6.95, and that's about the high price for, say, a 20-pound sack or $12.95 or whatever it might be. Read the label and see what the percentages of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are, and if it has any trace elements, which are important to a plant, but they're not in a great percentage. They might be 1% or 2%, whereas a good lawn food is like 15 or something like that. The 20 is 20% nitrogen, the 10 is phosphorus, and the last one is potassium. So that's how that works. And good lawns, any lawn, any shrub, tree, whatever, will have that same kind of formula for all around good feeding and good health. And a healthy lawn, a healthy shrub, a healthy tree, whatever, is able to better fight off any disease or attacking bug or something like that because it's growing not real fast, but it has a higher rate of growth. Mm-hmm. It's putting out the nutrition to the tree or the shrub, and it's able to combat any fungus or bug or whatever might want to come in and attack. And, in Roseburg, Oregon, Douglas County, we got a lot of them things coming. They want the lawns, they want the trees, they want everything.
And what are those stinking little wormy things you call it? Grubs?
Grubs? They ruin lawns quicker than you can blink your eye. I mean, and it's It's just amazing. There's a certain beetle that lays eggs in the lawn.
Similar, they're related to cockroach.
Exactly. And it lays its eggs in the lawn.
Ugh.
And then the eggs hatch into the grubs. And the grubs, as they mature, they turn into the beetles and fly away to go reinfect somebody else. Because that's what they eat, man.
I'm glad this isn't television. You can't see the disgusted look on my face.
I know. I'm glad they can't see it either. I'm looking at it. I'm scared.
Those things are just...
Oh, gosh.
Ugh.
You know, but... and then the other thing, and I mentioned this, you know, at least every other week, old lawns have built up old grass called thatch.
Hey.
In other words, you got the super-duper mower, and it sucks up all the grass and puts it in the bag, but it doesn't suck it all up. There's probably 10%, maybe 15% of the cut grass blades that fall into the lawn and go down. We have a call?
We do have a call.
Oh, good.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. Oh, hey, you're talking about grubs, but I was out in my yard. I have an old yard, and I'm sure I have thatch, but I am seeing, like, little digs, like, something has dug a maybe 5-inch little hole periodically around my grass.
Huh.
I don't know if that is a skunk or something that's digging. You think they're digging for grubs?
Well, that could be. When you say 5-inch hole, you mean 5 inches in diameter? The hole?
Oh, maybe hole? 5 inches too big. Maybe 3-inch little. Yeah,
uh-huh.
They're just little. They're just little patches of something that's been digging to get at something in my grass.
Well, it could they're after insects, whatever it is, and grubs are, you know, pretty tasty, I guess, to a robin or a crow or whoever.
How can I kill the grubs?
Well, there is grub poison that you can put on your lawn. It's like a fertilizer, and you just take a spreader and walk around.
Oh, okay.
And it's an easy process. And
okay, I'll look for that next time I'm there.
Yeah. And one place, and I've told this story before, it was up in Hewcrest, and I had put this brand new sod lawn in for these folks, and they were just so pleased. The lawn looked really great. And we put it in, oh gosh, say June, and all that year it looked great. Well, the second year rolled around, and the lady called me and says, "Mike, my lawn is dying." And I said, "How can it be dying? I've been watering, I've been fertilizing, blah, blah, blah." So I went by there, and there were brown spots all over the place, and big brown spots. So I took my trusty shovel out and dug in about 5 inches, and all I could find was gray grubs. I mean, they're little worms, segmented worms, maybe 3/4 inch long, 1/2 inch long.
Yeah.
And they're gray. And I checked a few more spots, and they're there. And what they do is they eat the grass roots. And that's why the lawn is dying, because the grass roots are full of nutrition. They're full of moisture. So consequently, these when they hatch from the larva, they hatch. They gotta eat. So they eat the grass. So I treated it. I gave it a good treatment, and in about 3 days later, she called. "You gotta come up here. You gotta come up here." I said, "What's the matter?" "No, you gotta see it." So I drove up there. And the lawn is next to their driveway, and their driveway was a solid mass of grubs. They were escaping the lawn.
Whoa.
And a large portion of them were dead because it was on concrete.
Yeah.
But there were some that were still alive. But they were leaving that lawn like there was no tomorrow. And that's how quickly they you can get rid of them.
All right, so if I go to the co-op or something, they'll know what I need for my spreader?
Yes, you just say you want something with fertilizer with grub control or grub poison. Say that it's the grubs are killing my lawn.
Okay, great. Well, I don't know what animal it is. Could be a skunk, could be we have moles out here, but something's like going around digging for those. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. I'll go look for that.
And tell me when you do it, call back and tell me how it worked.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
All right, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Just in time for a break.
Good.
I hope she does call back. I want
to have some feedback. I mean, I give a lot of information out, a lot of instruction and how to do and how not to do. And I hope that people are taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And some of them would call back and say, hey, that worked. Thank you so much. They don't have to say thank you even. Just say, hey, it worked.
It worked. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. We are back, and our phone number, Mike?
673-4464 if you have a question, and I will answer it for you, and it'll work. Trust me.
Yep. Will.
So, I'll get off these lawns here in a second, but if you have an old lawn, it just has built-up old grass. And you know, you get the best mower in the world, and it's supposed to suck up all the grass blades, but it doesn't do that. It gets maybe 90% of them, maybe 85% of them. The rest of them fall down into the ground. And after 3 or 4 years, you've got this thatch. And thatch is like a thatched roof. It repels water. So you've been watering, gosh, an hour a day, and it's still turning brown. It's because the water's not getting down into the root systems. So you got to aerate it. That means thin it and plug it. Take soil plugs out and fertilize it. And bingo, water it. And guess what? Within 2 weeks, your lawn is beautiful. If you'll do that, it's not an easy process. The machines are heavy. The machines are bulky. You got to rent them. You can't do it with a lawnmower thatcher or a lawnmower. You kind of can, but it doesn't do an adequate job.
Yeah.
But that water's got to get down into that lawn. And when you have a healthy lawn like that, you have less opportunity for grubs to go in there and attack it, too. I mean, you know, preventive maintenance, preventive medicine, what do you want to call?
Yeah.
But
it works.
It works. You know, it's like, okay, how do I do this? Okay. Now, you can tell it's summer, of course, not because of the hot days or the lack of rain, but the yellow jackets are out and about. I mean, they are horrendous.
Oh, they love that soda.
I can't stand them. you know, my barbecue thing is on my back patio.
Oh, they love that.
Oh, yeah. And we have some people over on Sunday for barbecued hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, I'm trying, you know, it's hot anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm flipping the burgers, and the stinking yellow jackets, they go, oh, yeah, look at that, man. Let's get winners. He's out here, you know. We can take a chunk of him, man, and then we'll get his burgers. But, you know.
Did you get stung?
No.
Oh.
Not Saturday, I didn't.
Oh.
Well, you know, I guess the yellow jackets have some value, but I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, I don't know. But they're easy to find. All you have to do is start to dig a hole somewhere in your yard, and they'll automatically appear and attack you. I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah.
One day I was digging, and I got a retaining wall in my backyard, about 3.5 feet tall, and I've got plants and stuff behind it, and there was some weeding I was doing, and just kind of digging in the first 6 inches of soil, and I was leaning over over the planting just to make sure of, I don't even know what I was making sure of. And there was a yellow jacket nest in there. There was one, came up and got me in the lip.
Oh, no.
And within a minute, my lip was 3 times the size of normal.
Dang.
And it hurt very, very bad. So I put the baking soda on it. And that took some of the pain away. But, you know, you got to be careful of them puppies, because some of them, they eat snakes and all that kind of stuff. You don't know what you're going to get. So be careful.
Then does it itch afterwards? I mean,
So
scratching your lip.
Scratch your lip, or, you know, do the sandpaper trick on it or something like that. But, you know, like I say, you got to watch. If you're planting something or even weeding in your garden, those little puppies could be down there happy as all get out, waiting for you to come down and bend over and do something so they can come up and bite you. And they are vicious little boogers.
Oh, they are.
Why they were invented, I don't know. But
they don't pollinate.
No, they don't. They don't. They just sting and bite, and they eat meat.
Oh, maybe that's what they're for. Yeah, scavengers.
Yeah. They're scavengers, yeah. But I'd rather have a porcupine eat the meat, man. You know, because they won't jump up and bite you if you don't get too close, that is. And you can be weed eating. I've been weed eating, you know, high weeds around the perimeter or something like that, or along the road. You know, and there's some high grass or brush, and they'll raise up in protest and swarm your weed eater, and you've got this weed eater going, and it's all strapped to your body, and you got a dozen yellow jackets running around trying to bite you. You got to be careful of them puppies. But I'm sure there is some good they do. I just haven't discovered what it is. I don't know. Maybe they're pollinators. Maybe they're this. Who knows? But we have hummingbird feeders on our front porch, and the yellow jackets love them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the hummingbirds and the yellow jackets, they fight it out.
Do they?
Yeah, but the hummingbirds win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love them hummingbirds. So there's a constant battle going between the birds and the bees.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I know, I thought so. Yeah, and usually the hummers win, okay? So, you know, get
there's
a
joke there, but I got to leave it alone.
Okay, I didn't know that, so.
I'll tell you off air.
But, well, okay, that's good. So, we don't want to break. This is a
family show.
PG show, okay? So believe it or not, I was doing research on this, there are 18 species of hummingbirds in North America. Jeez. 18 different species. And, of course, there's subspecies of every species, too.
Sure, yeah.
But the literature didn't list that. And I'm thinking, geez Louise, man. And only about 10 species show up on my porch every day. So I don't know where the other 8 are. They might be in San Diego.
China
or somewhere. And the ones that show up on my porch every day for lunch, they're buzzing and they're doing and they're just going. And some days, you know, this is one of these feeders. It's like a glass hanger and it's got four little fake flowers where they stick their nozzle in there and suck out the juice and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, some days there's got to be 20 of them out around surrounding this thing, and they're fighting one another so they can get a drink. And so my wife said, well, I'll put 2 of them on. Now there's 40 of them out there fighting each other because there's 2 of them. You know, so I'll put out another dozen. Maybe that'll satisfy them. They are sugar maniacs, I'll tell you what. And I think I got all 18 species that visit my porch.
But they get rid of those yellow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll go after the insects and things like that, too.
Nice. Good.
And, you know, I'm glad for that. That's why I don't chase them away. The more I have, the better it is.
Better off you are.
That's right.
Nice.
But there are as many as 15 to 20 birds trying to feed at the same time from those fake flower feeders, you know.
Wow.
Jeez, how do they do that? And then they're kind of poking one another and pushing another out of the way, and their wings are doing 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I find really interesting is that there are like so many different looking birds in the flock, different colors. You know, reds and greens and purples and blues and yellows and it's not like they all look the same by any way.
Okay.
And it's like, I wonder where they're from. I mean, maybe they're from Roseburg and they came out to visit or something. Who knows? But they're very, very interesting. And so I started doing some research on them. And then, like I said, there's 18 species of hummingbirds in North America.
Oh.
That's not counting the ones that you find in South America or Fiji or Japan, you know. It's
right here at home, basically.
Yeah, just basically here. And there's all different sizes of them. There's little tiny ones. There's ones that are a little bit kind of medium size, and there's the super super large, you know. And
jeez.
I got some measurements here. I'll get to that.
Okay.
But we even have, you know, they migrate south supposedly, but we have a species here that stays all winter at our house.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and they make nests. You know, I've got a Colorado blue spruce that's very tight. You know, there's not a lot of space in the branch. It's been in there about 20 years.
They can hide in there.
It's a safe haven.
Yeah.
And that's where most of them put their nests, and they winter out there.
Sure.
I couldn't believe it when it first happened. When the tree was small, they didn't stick. I mean, but now as the tree is, you know, 20, 20 plus feet tall. There's a lot of branches, a lot of room, and all the hummers can go in there and kick back and say, hey, we're good. We'll wait till that guy puts some more food out. You know, then we'll get them. But, you know, like I say, there's so many different birds and colors, and like I said, some are small, some are a little larger, and all the different colors, and the ones that stay are, you know, they're not all the same birds. They're different species. We got a call?
No, we got a break.
Okay, we got a break, and I'll get back with the hummers.
All right, be right back. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. I believe we could have a call or two yet to squeeze in.
Okay.
And the phone number?
673-4464.
There you go.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're ready to rock for our last segment here.
Okay, and I've been talking about hummingbirds. And, you know, like I said, there's some of them that stay all winter at our place because they nest in our nearby blue spruce. And they're not as active in the winter, but they still require some food. So my wife keeps the feeders full. And between feedings, when you do this, make sure to clean the feeders. Don't just add more material to the feeder. Wash it, clean it, get all the sticky old stuff out before you add the new stuff. And then they will participate heartily in eating it. They won't let it just go to, you know, rot. Whatever.
Yeah.
And hummingbirds are great pollinators as well. And if you can entice them to your yard, your garden, and flowers will be filled with bright blooms and lots of vegetables and all that kind of stuff because they are a good pollinator.
I didn't
and they'll
know that.
Flit around from place to place to place to place. Well, it's like people see them, but they don't understand what they're doing. But they're getting the nectar from, you know, one plant and going to the next plant and going to the next plant. And so they're pollinating all those plants as they go. And the female hummingbirds are the nest builders. The males don't build the nest. The females do because they want a three-bedroom whatever nest. But
Two bath,
yeah. And they use like a soft, silky, natural materials like thistle or dandelion or even hair or feathers or even carpet fibers. If you know, they're very, I don't know, engineering-oriented or something.
Yeah.
But their small cup-shaped nests are often glued together with spider webs and caterpillar silk. You know, I've been reading about all this stuff the last few days and thinking, wow, I didn't know they were that talented. I mean, we stick the feeders out there and watch them and, you know.
Yeah. Entertain ourselves.
But there's a whole lot to them. If you get some literature on them, you'd be amazed at what they're capable of. And when the females are not making new nests, some will just use an old nest, and then while others will recycle materials from existing nests that are not being used, and they'll build a new home for themselves out of an existing nest. They don't like to occupy the same nest.
I don't blame them.
They like something
of their own.
Yeah, and the female, like I said, the female hummingbirds, they are the home builders. They're the ones that do the job. And they have an amazing flight abilities.
Oh, gosh.
They can stay in one place and eat while their wings are rotating in a figure-eight motion. I didn't know that because you can't see them.
No.
Because it's a blur.
Yes, right.
and then instantly they can change directions and go forward, backward, sideways, up, down, and even upside down. Yeah. Now, I haven't seen one go upside down, but I've seen them do all the others.
Scientists ought to get involved in that. Well, figure out how to make UFOs.
They probably learn a lot. These birds are just absolutely amazing, amazing creatures. I mean, and some hummingbirds can fly up to 60 miles an hour. And I thought, wow, it didn't say which one. It just said some hummingbirds mm-hmm. can fly up to 60 miles an hour. And the largest of the hummingbirds is the blue-throated hummingbird, and it has a wingspan of 8 inches on either side. Each wing is 8 inches, and it has the slowest wing beats of all North American hummingbirds because it's got bigger wings. So it doesn't. The smaller the wing, the more flaps you got.
Yeah, you know, that's
how it is. And like I said, I've got 2 feeders on my front porch, and if I sit quietly, I can watch a great show. But you don't want to disturb them; they're kind of spooky almost. But I've counted as many as 15 hummers at a time, fighting for a drink of that special Kool-Aid that my wife brews up.
Jonestown.
Yeah, right. And I'm sitting within, 5 or 6 feet from them. And if I sit still, they don't mind me being there. But if you move, you get up from your lawn chair. No, they're not real
fond of that.
Yeah, they go, pshoop, at 60 miles an hour.
Jeez.
Yeah. And there are several varieties that I learned that they're so fast that I can't identify them. they're just so fast. And this literature that I got has colored photos of hummingbirds, and their different colorations, and tells you how fast they fly, how big they get, how big the wings get. And most of them are, they're all fast. I mean, some of the bigger ones are not quite as fast. The smaller hummingbirds, they're like rocket ships. They're just, bam, they're gone. Wow. And they can turn on a dime and come right back. That's how they are. So if you want a good show, get a hummingbird feeder, or 2 or 3 of them if you really want a great show, and put them on a nice, in your back porch, on your back patio or something like that. Hang them from an overhang and just sit back and relax. They
probably eat mosquitoes too.
They do.
Nice.
And they, like I said, they're great pollinators. So you got bees, you got hummingbirds, you got I don't know who else, but there's a lot of pollinators out there that keep us producing our food. So
they're good. Leave them alone. That's gonna do it for us.
Well, we're done. Thank you for listening. I hope you learned something. I enjoy this show every day.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. See you next week. Afternoon Report is coming your way next. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.